Hello, and welcome to the Mail Report on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayer.
And I'm Chris Marshall of the Clickit Comics Library.
In this episode, we'll be discussing the top 300 graphic novels and collected editions sold through Diamond to retailers for the month. The numbers we'll be talking about in this episode are the top 300 trades through Diamond to retailers for January 2009. So how you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good, John. What's up?
Oh, not too much. Not too much. Now, looking at the breakdown of the top 300, there was something I was noticing that just really floored me. Now, we've got the usual rough three-way split, and I say rough because it's usually off by a good couple of percent. But, I mean, DC took 37.18% of the total sales by units for the top trades. Marvel took 27.01%, leaving the remaining 35.81% to everybody else. So, again, big picture, kind of a rough three-way split by thirds. What floored me, though, is DC had like 108 items on the list. Mm-hmm. Marvel only had 55. Now, granted, the majority of those items for DC, you know, 67 of them were reorder items versus only 41 new items. But it's like, damn, that's a lot of items to get on the list.
That's huge. We've never seen a number like that before, I don't think.
Well, we've only had a couple of months to be seeing that in, too.
Well, with a 300, right, exactly.
Because, yeah, I mean, you've got to go, we've only got, like, I think 4 months where we've got that much data to be looking at, but still, it's just incredible. I mean, that's a lot of trades out there. And it goes back to the whole problem, I think, that's impacting trade sales these days of there's just too many items. Mm-hmm. Not everything really warrants a trade, and not everything is going to have that kind of active shelf life. Mm-hmm. So, I thought that was very interesting. Now, flip side, even though, you know, there was a fairly big difference between the number of units between Marvel and DC, the number of dollars that were brought in, not that big of a difference. DC had 36.72% of the dollars brought in by the top 300 trades. Marvel had 33.11, so much closer margin there. Now, I don't think there's any other publishers that just kind of really pop up on the trade side as, oh, wow, this is unusual or whatever in terms of the breakdown of the top 300. Now, one thing I do want to point out before we start looking at the top of the list for the top 300 is there is one item that I want to point out real quick because it's a little odd this month. If you look at rank 95, we've got the third Walking Dead trade paperback with reorder activity of 1,040 units or thereabouts. Mm-hmm. Okay, nothing unusual there. It's a $12.99 item. However, if you look at rank 160, we've got essentially that same trade paperback, volume 3 of Walking Dead, with another 625 units of reorder activity. Now, this one, the way it was in the raw data I had, it's like, you know, had a little note at the beginning to use the order code for the one up at rank 95 and some stuff like that. But this is at a $14.99 cover price. So I don't know if there was just a glitch in how they were accepting orders, if this should have been flipped and merged in with the other one. Since these are at different prices, I'm operating under the assumption that the sales in rank 95 do not include the sales at rank 160. Now, this is different than the case we had this month on the top comics list, where Final Crisis number 6 was listed twice at rank, I think, 3 and 130 or something. I was able to confirm that the sales at rank 130 were included in the upper rank of 3, so I had just taken that out of the list. But again, same cover price here, not the case. So, to one way of looking at it, we really only have 299 unique items on both lists this month, which I find, you know, I'm going to go with humorous, but, you know, the database geek in me says annoying, so.
It happens.
It happens. Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, particularly with this much data from this many different publishers and just the sheer number of unique items on the list. But really, to kind of properly clean up some of this data, what I need is access to, like, the master data file that Diamond releases every month, and I need that kind of going back a decade. Because that has information, it has a unique series code for each title, it also has information on the writer, the artist, the editor, it has enough other things that if I had that data, man, I could not only clean this up a lot better, I could also do a lot more analysis on, you know, how does it impact a trade to have multiple riders or whatever, stuff like that. But don't have it, so oh well. Now, starting at the top of the list, I'm not totally surprised by this, but with the item at numbers 2 and 3, a little surprised. We got Walking Dead Volume 9 trade paperback. This is the most recent trade, and it did 14,328 units, which, very strong sales. Now, that's down a bit from the aggregate sales of Volume 8, but figure that, you know, each volume usually stays on the list for a while. This will even out over time.
Oh, yeah, and it'll get reorder activity for sure.
Oh, guaranteed.
You know, so.
Guaranteed.
Where is Volume 8 on your list?
That is a good question. Let me filter this down to just the image books. Volume 8 is at rank 102.
Okay.
With 989 units.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's another 100 right, or another 1,000 right there, you know. So you figure these come out every 6 months or so, you know. This is quickly going to be only about, you know, two-thirds of the sales or whatever within a couple of months or whatever.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Now, for most titles, I would be worried if there was this kind of a 38.21% drop between the total known sales of the previous volume and the current one, but given how strong the reorder activity is for Walking Dead, you know, I'm not the least bit concerned. Now, one thing that's kind of interesting to look at in terms of Walking Dead is, I mean, how that trade is selling versus how the monthly is selling. Because the monthly is doing 23,427 units compared to that 14,328 units for the trade. That's, I mean, a sizable difference, but really, when you think about it, that trade's doing, what, roughly two-thirds what the monthly comic is selling? And, as we've just said, it's going to sell more over time. You know, I think Kirkman has as many readers, by and large, picking up the series in trade as he has getting it monthly.
You know, yeah, we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
You know, and really on the other Kirkman title with Invincible, too, you know, it both seems to get, they have longer legs in their trade paperbacks, which is, you know, not uncommon for Kirkman.
True, true. But both longer legs and just strong sales out of the gate.
Oh, right out of the gate. Absolutely.
So, because there are a lot of books that'll do well on the trade side, but are still selling, you know, a fraction of what they're selling on the monthly side. But, you know, here that fraction is you know, like two-thirds versus, you know, one-tenth or something.
Well, the Vertigo books. We've talked about Why the Last Man or...
Exactly.
You know, the other books like that, so...
Exactly.
The Fables books, that's what I was going to mention.
Yeah, those tend to do fairly well, but again, they tend to do a... They don't start out as strong as Walking Dead does, but they do seem to have that, like you said, the long shelf life. And really, that's what it's all about. Because you get these big sales during that initial month. If you don't have the slow and steady sales month in, month out, you know, that's really what makes the difference between, you know, books that go on to stick around for, you know, 10, 20 years versus those that eventually just, you know, peter out once the series ends.
Right.
So. Now, what is surprising is that Walking Dead beat out the ranks 2 and 3 item. Because in rank 2, we've got more reorder activity for Watchmen. By my count, it's been on the list 4 dozen times prior to this, and no doubt will be for, you know, foreseeable future. And it did 9,972 units, putting the total reported estimated sales through Diamond at 175,659 units. Let me stress, that's the total reported estimated sales. What that means is, if it wasn't reported, it's not in this total. You know, and given how old this book is, as we've talked about before, the top trade list at one point was 10 items long. Watchmen was no doubt selling, but that doesn't mean it made it in the top 10. So there's a lot of unreported sales.
Yeah, we've touched on this before, and it bears being repeating during this week when the movie's coming out, that you know, this book has definitely sold over more than that number we're reporting right here. I mean, it's safe to say that over 1 million people own this book, you know, at least, at the very least.
Well, at the very least, there's 1 million copies currently in print. There's no question about that.
Oh, easily. Oh, yeah.
You know, and
worldwide for 20 years now.
Oh, I mean, yeah, yeah. There's tons of copies.
I own two myself.
I only own the one.
I'm about to own a third.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to go buy the international. I've got the old trade paperback from when it first came out. I got the Absolute Edition, and I think I'm going to go, in fact, today after we're done recording, I think I'm going to go pick up the international trade.
Cool.
Just for, you know, giggles.
Well, and to people who have not read it and are going to go watch the movie, this episode will probably go up after the movie's out, but if you haven't already seen it, pick up the trade paperback. Read the comic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything I'm seeing from the trailers and stuff looks like the movie's going to be a fairly faithful adaptation, as much as is possible in a roughly 2-hour film covering 12 issues of a comic.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to cut some stuff, they're going to have to change some stuff, but, you know, it should be fairly representative of it. I do recommend picking up this trade. It is a classic. And
it's funny, you know, that just in the past couple days, I've had people come up, the same people come up to me that know that I collect comic books. You know, they always say, hey, did you see Dark Knight? Did you see Hulk? Did you see Iron Man? Do you watch Heroes? Kind of thing. And now the same kind of people are coming up to me saying, what the hell is Watchmen? it's like they know who Iron Man is, you know, they know who Batman is, but what is this Watchmen thing? And why is it rated R? My son wants to go see it. I'm like, no, you don't want to go see it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you want to go see it. You don't want to bring your son to it.
Well,
so I'm trying to explain to him. And you know what? Watchmen is not something that you can easily explain to somebody in a 2-minute conversation.
No, not at all.
You know, I was trying to explain to a friend of mine last night at the bar. And he's like, now what is it? I'm like, well, it's 1985, and, you know, it's like Cold War and superheroes, and there's a murder mystery, and then, you know, I didn't want to go into the whole aspect of they're based on Charlton heroes or anything like that. That would have blown his mind.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, it's like there's so much. I mean, this movie is kind of made for us, which is really kind of fun. You know, this is an inside baseball kind of movie for you and I,
but
and everybody else listening to this podcast.
But I think it'll appeal to the average person, because the impression I'm getting is it's going to be a very well-done film. Now, hopefully,
yes,
it'll be well-received, and people will be prompted to go pick up the trade and actually get into the comics and look at that side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's got enough of a reputation as being kind of a classic comic book versus Iron Man, Batman being just another comic book character, granted in big, important, major ones, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
That, you know, I hope we'll see a bit more crossover and get some people interested in, you know, sequential storytelling art and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, hard to sum up the premise of that thing.
Yeah.
But that's part of why it works too. It's not a uber simple high concept, you know, that you can just pitch in a sentence and say, oh, okay, I get it.
Right, exactly.
Because, of course, that fits the next item on our list, which is Secret Invasion, the trade paperback of shape-shifting aliens invade Earth.
Right.
The heroes fight back. It did 9,441 units, which I think is strong, but I don't think we're seeing kind of the huge wave of success for Secret Invasion that we saw with Civil War. Because when the Civil War trades all came out, and we've got a number of Secret Invasion ones on the list this month, Marvel had a huge, you know, landslide percentage and stuff of the breakdown, and just had a very strong showing that month. They have a good showing this month, but not to that degree. So I'm a little surprised this didn't do a little bit better. But, you know, we'll see how well stuff does, because, I mean, I think we're still seeing reorder activity on Civil War, if I'm not mistaken. I believe it's, yeah, it's down at rank 111.
Well, this could be one of those books that, you know, in any of the big event, too, like a Civil War, you know, so many people bought the monthly issues that they feel like now they don't need to go out and buy the trade paperbacks of everything. And maybe that's what we're seeing here.
Or they're holding off and waiting for the Secret Invasion Chronicles, which put everything in chronological order.
Well, that's what I'm waiting for. So.
Seriously?
Yeah. I'm picking it up in Chronicle form. And then I'm going to bind them all.
Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. I actually am surprised by that.
Why is that?
I don't know why they publish those.
Oh, I don't know why they publish them either. I think it's ridiculous.
It just seems like double dipping. You know, what are you getting that you're not getting in the original comics when they came out?
Right.
But hey, if it works for them, I can't fault them for that.
Well, they did it with Civil War, they did it with World War Hulk, and now they're doing it with Secret Invasion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're probably going to do it with Dark Reign or War of Kings. I mean, it seems to be their MO these days.
Yeah. Dark Reign doesn't seem to have a miniseries that's a core of it, whereas...
Yeah, you're right. There is no core Dark Reign, is there?
No, it's more like The Initiative.
Right, but there is War of Kings being a miniseries, though?
I think
so. Or one-shots or something like that?
I thought it was a six-issue miniseries.
Okay.
I'm actually having to sit that one out.
Well, I'm not... Yeah, I was going to say... I mean, you collect Guardians of the Galaxy and Nova, and they're going to be crossing into those books. So that's the only really Dark Reign that I'll be... Or, I'm sorry, War of Kings that I'll be buying.
Well,
but it sounds like an interesting title. I mean, I do like The Inhumans, so I might have to pick it up and trade when it comes out.
I'm curious about it. I'd like to be picking it up, but, you know, budget cuts with the whole unemployment thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So until I get a job, I'm having to continue to, you know, take titles off the list. And, you know, I'm at the point where I've already cut a number of independent books, a lot of Marvel books. And, you know, that just fell victim to it. I'll pick them up at some point. But probably
probably cut out your entire DC line of books and not miss anything.
I'm a hardcore DC fan's the problem.
I know.
I'm still getting a ton of DC books, but I'm having to make some cuts there too. Mm. But you know, I grew up on New Teen Titans, All-Star Squadron, Legion of Superheroes, you know, a lot of the classics there. So. And speaking of classics, at rank 5, we've got that third volume of the Justice trade paperback.
Wait for the absolute. Don't buy it.
Exactly. I was going to
say. Coming out in September.
You know, I really think these things would have done better if they had sold the absolute first.
Mm-hmm.
Because then people would have gotten that out of the way, if you will. And I think people who go from the hardcovers they did and upgrade or whatever are going to have a little bit of a bad taste in their mouth. Particularly in this economy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they had been upfront of, here's what our publishing schedule is going to be, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, and then at this point we'll do the absolute, but, you know.
Well, if you have seen anything that Ross has done in the oversized format collected edition, it looks 10 times better. I mean, because what he's doing now is more or less made for the absolute version. Whereas maybe his early stuff, and he admitted it so, was not like Kingdom Come. There was no big format for those books when Kingdom Come was coming out. But now, or when Marvels were coming out or whatever. But now, knowing that the big omnibus and absolutes do come out with his stuff, and he probably has it in his contract that these will be collected that way. He designs his work that way now.
Well,
he admitted so when he talked to the Year-Round Comics guys over a year ago.
He's one of the few artists, though, that I think really justifies the oversized format.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, him, George Perez. Beyond that, for me, it really drops off quick. I'd be hard-pressed mm-hmm. to name a third person. Mm-hmm. So, are they going to, or have they already collected Marvels in an oversized edition?
Well, they kind of had that 10th anniversary edition a couple years ago, and that was about as big as it got. But
okay.
It wasn't like an absolute version or anything, but or an omnibus style. But you know, I could see with Eye of the Camera coming out now, they'll collect it all together into an omnibus, you know, Marvels type omnibus within probably 2010, 2011, something like that.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, at ranks 13, 14, and 15, we've got a couple of the Secret Invasion miniseries in trade paperback format. We've got the Fantastic Four, Home Invasion, and War Machine. And these sold, let's see, the first two of Fantastic Four and Home Invasion did both 3,287 units each. And then War Machine did 3,178 units. Now, what's interesting is that Home Invasion was originally serialized on the web, and this is the first time it was in print. And it did literally on par with how that Fantastic Four, you know, miniseries did.
Mm-hmm.
And I read the Fantastic Four one as it was coming out monthly. I thought it was really good. I read the Home Invasion in trade paperback format and was really kind of underwhelmed. I was not that impressed by it.
What was the story about?
Basically, a girl discovers her brother's a Skrull.
Oh, okay.
And I was hoping for something a little more kind of micro, if you will, you know, kind of a normal person on the streets look at Secret Invasion. Kind of, again, a Marvel's spin on it, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But this quickly started tying into all the major events, and, you know, a lot of the major characters start showing up. And it really, I thought, based on the way they had described the premise originally, didn't quite live up to it.
Mm.
And I thought the art was a little shaky in some places. And it was, you know, 8-page, you know, thing serialized, I'm not sure how frequently on the web, but it seemed to be keeping pace with the major, or maybe it was actually full comic book size serialized 8 times, more or less in sync with Secret Invasion. Anyways, because I wasn't reading it as it was serialized. You know, it did feel like there were some jumps in time, and it was trying to keep pace with the overall event. So if
the writer and the artist, that doesn't, they don't ring a bell for me. Nick Postick and Ivan Brandon? What else have they done? Do you know?
I have no idea.
Off the top of your head? Okay, yeah, I don't know.
Part of it's I'm really bad with names, and part of it is if they don't tell me in the solicit what they've done, these days I'm starting to assume they haven't.
Yeah, okay.
So, it wasn't horrible, but particularly given the budget cuts I'm having to go through, I would have rather have spent my money on something else.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see, what else do we got that looks interesting? We've got another Secret Invasion trade at rank 21 with the Captain Marvel miniseries. And this one did, let's see, 2,887 units. Now, what I find really interesting, though, is if you jump down to ranks 41 and 42, we've got the Secret Invasion volumes of New Avengers and Mighty Avengers. These are the hardcovers, premier hardcover mm-hmm. in the case of Mighty Avengers. And they only sold 2,146 units for New Avengers Volume 9 Secret Invasion hardcover, although that's, I think, reorder activity. and Mighty Avengers Volume 4, Secret Invasion Volume 2, premier hardcover. Man, that's a mouthful.
Isn't it? I know.
Yeah. Well, particularly that second volume number, you know, that's just that's confusing. But that did 2,124 units. Now, granted, these are hardcovers and stuff, but if I were collecting all the stuff in a collected format versus the monthly, I'd rather be getting all trades or all hardcovers or something like that. And I don't know. You know, again, this doesn't seem to be the huge wave of success that Civil War had. But I don't find that terribly surprising.
Right. Well, I'm very annoyed at the whole premier hardcover size. I wish that they would just stick to one size.
Yes.
Because the hardcover and the premier hardcover are two different sizes.
I think that's a bad move.
Mm-hmm.
I think that their trade dress and size for these collected editions should be very standardized and something where, again, you put a bunch of them on a bookshelf, it looks organized. It looks uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've dropped the ball on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, with the Omnibus, the Absolute, those kinds of supersized, you know, editions, that makes sense. But if it's only off by, you know, a quarter of an inch or, you know, whatever it is between the hardcover and a premier hardcover,
mm-hmm.
that just doesn't make sense to me.
No.
So. But yeah, those were the main ones that really kind of jumped out at me. You know, with the increased list, we've got most volumes, like you were talking about earlier, of Why the Last Man, Fables, a lot of these sort of things showing up on the list. Although one thing that's jumping out at me at the moment, and I'm a little surprised I didn't notice this earlier, is if you look at ranks 62, 58, and... Just a sec, let me get these where I can highlight.
Oh, the Masterworks?
Yeah. They're out of order.
What do you mean they're out of order?
Look at rank 51. Let's start actually right above that.
Okay.
Crap, we got a few of these other things. I am...
Oh, you mean with their estimated sales?
Yeah, their order index numbers are way the hell out of whack. Let me pull up my source data real quick that I actually get from Diamond and confirm, see if this is a problem in my number crunching stuff, which is always possible. I am human. I make mistakes from time to time. Or if it's actually a problem with the source data. And this was what ranks 50... No, this is in the source data that way. Okay.
That's pretty strange.
So, just so everyone listening can understand what's going on. The top 300 list each month is ranked in order of sales. Obviously. Okay? That means the top item sold the most, followed by... Item 2, which sold less or the same, all the way down. Okay? Now, what we're noticing is if we look at rank 61, we've got the Infinity Crusade Volume 2 trade paperback at 1,673 units. Now, Diamond reports that as an order index of 2.30. All right? Now, at rank 63, two items below that, with an order index of 2.20, we've got Fables Volume 1, Legends in Exile, trade paperback at 1,600 units. Now, because this is an ordered list, rank 62 should fall somewhere between an order index of 2.30 and 2.20. It has an order index of 1.01, which gives it estimated sales of 735 units versus, again, being somewhere between 1,600 and 1,673 units.
Mm-hmm.
This is a problem with the source data. And what I think happened, these are all items that had multiple item codes.
They got the variant, yeah.
Where they merged them in. And I don't think they included the sales of the item they merged in.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah, that would make sense.
That is very interesting. Man, I think they did this everywhere there was a merged entry.
Yeah, that could have been.
I'm scanning through the list right now, and that seems to be the case.
What's another one you're finding?
Rank 115, Ultimates 3, Who Killed Scarlet Witch Premiere Hardcover. It has an order index of 0.63, which works out to 458 units, whereas the item below it had 858 units at an order index of 1.18.
Huh.
This is the first month they have gone to doing the item code with the base item code -M for multiple entries. And we talked about this some at the year-end stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly their process needs a little bit of work.
Yeah, Ultimate Origins at rank 20.
Yeah.
That one, yeah, this is kind of messed up. Daredevil Born Again.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You see, one of the things that, I mean, we've talked about it a time or two, but I don't think some people really understand, is the data I report is not just what I get from Diamond, toss it up on a website, and boom, I'm done.
Right.
You know, I'm taking these order indexes, I'm cleaning the title names, I'm trying to sum up how they've done in the past. And as with any computer system, mistakes are going to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly when they change how they report on some stuff, like they're doing with how they're merging various items, you know, mistakes get in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to see if for any of these, that if they're close enough, we could tell what the item should have been at. And I don't think so.
No, it's hard to tell. Yeah. I mean, well, the Masterworks and like that Daredevil Born Again, they have, you know, a limited print run of like 1,000 or, you know, it's different for each book, but let's just say 1,000. You know, it doesn't mean they sold those 1,000.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, but you can give a, but you could tack on an extra 1,000 to kind of gauge where it might be. Because usually the variants sell out.
Well, again, that Ultimates, you know, Volume 3 at rank 115, you know, should have been, you know, somewhere around 866 units, give or take, you know, maybe another 8 units or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
oh, I see what you're doing. Yeah, because it's sandwiched in between the other ones.
Exactly.
Right, right, right.
So we can tell how much is missing from there, but not, you know, where it necessarily came from. Because they probably, not probably, they definitely took it out of the list below.
Yeah, exactly. That's like the Golden Age Captain America there. 735, and it's sandwiched in between two books that are around 1,600. So, you know, you tack on, you know, an extra 900, 800, 900 books, which is probably the variant run, like I said, of around 1,000. So,
but
yeah, it's
with that Golden Age Captain America masterwork, though, we've got a range of 73 units it could fall anywhere within.
True, you're right. Exactly.
Whereas some of these we can narrow it down a bit further,
right?
Such as that Daredevil masterwork, we know it's got a range of only about 15 units it's
15,
within,
right?
Because of where the items on either side of it fall,
right?
I will try to follow up with Diamond on this and see if I can get a little bit better data.
Now, hey, does that screw up the monthly breakdown?
Yes.
It does. So, okay.
It most definitely does.
Okay.
Because, of, you know, the monthly breakdown is a total of these sales divided by, you know, what publisher and all that stuff.
Right, right.
So, that's part of why I always refer to these things as estimates versus exact figures.
Absolutely.
Is mistakes are going to get in, but also, even if all of this data was perfect, those order index values only go to two decimal places. And the way the math works out, you know, you can't get down to, you know, exact unit figures. You're always going to be off by about a half a dozen units, really by 1/20,000th of the sales of the key item on the comic list. But this is, you know, just a case where obviously other issues are factoring in on making the data less than what we would like it to be. But it is what it is, and it's pretty much the best available.
Right.
So we make do with it. But, yeah, these are the sort of things I bump into when I'm crunching the data on this stuff. So, fun stuff. So, did you see anything else that looked interesting?
No, I think that's about it. You know, it's good to see the Agents of Atlas, you know, get a run in their trade paperback form there with a new series coming up. Other than that, no, it's pretty much the same. I see that you highlighted the two Justice trades.
Yeah.
Down at the bottom there for Ryota Reactivity.
They did about another 500 units each.
Yeah. The two V for Vendetta trades.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we'll be getting an absolute V for Vendetta pretty soon.
Now, that's another one where, you know, it's really the same V for Vendetta trade. It just had different order codes.
Right.
So they probably should have been merged into the same thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
We've got most of the Walking Dead stuff. You know, we talked about all that. It's really interesting to see how many titles have a very strong presence on the list, and others that just, you know, they show up the once and bam, they're gone.
Right. You know, looking at the very bottom of the list, it's interesting to see Hellboy Volume 1 get Ryota Reactivity for 364 units. You know, they have the nice library edition hardcovers. If you're going to reorder something, just go out and buy that. It's such a better book.
Yeah, but some people don't want to be spending that much money.
I know.
But it is a case where when they've got multiple versions of the same content at different price points and stuff, you know, I think they're hurting the sales all the way around,
because
people are either going to get the cheaper, they're going to get the more expensive, they're going to hold out for whatever they feel suits them. You know, right now, again, we've talked about this before, we'll no doubt talk about it again. Most comics you can end up getting in four different formats if you're patient enough and if it's
right.
good enough. The monthly comic, the trade paperback, the hardcover, and then the deluxe hardcover. You know, be it an omnibus, an essential, or not an essential, but a absolute, or you know what I mean.
Oh, I mean, just look at the different ways you can get Watchmen right now.
Exactly.
Yeah. And now you can get the motion comic, and pretty soon you'll be able to get the live-action movie comic, you know. It's just crazy, you know.
Yeah, it's insane. I hope they package the DVD and stuff with the trade and do some cool promotion stuff for that.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, it's funny. I mentioned on my podcast last week or a couple weeks ago now that I, you know, I'm looking forward to getting the Lord of the Rings type style, you know, DVD box set. And hopefully they'll package, you know, the extra long movie in there with Under the Hood and the Black Freighter extra pieces and maybe even have, you know, throw in the motion comic as well and have one giant box set, because that would be kind of fun to have.
I hope they do that, and I hope they do some really good commentary tracks for the movie.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah, they got to get Gibbons on there, hopefully. I mean, I know Moore won't show up, but Gibbons would be really nice to have on it.
Gibbons would be good. Certainly the director I would like to see do a very...
Oh, Zack Snyder, yeah.
...detailed, you know. What was he thinking? What did he have to adapt? All that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and do a, you know, a comparison in a way.
So...
I still have not, you know, speaking of Lord of the Rings, I still have not gotten through all the commentaries on those discs.
Oh, I haven't even started the commentaries on those things.
Oh, no. I mean, I listened to the Peter Jackson ones. I've done that for all three movies, but the actors and the sound direction guys, I mean, I have not even gotten close to that.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it'd be worth listening to one of these days.
Oh, no doubt. But that's at the point of being a film school in a box.
It is almost, and it would be great to see the film school in a box with Watchmen.
Yeah.
You know.
Definitely. Hopefully that'll do well, and, you know, it'll be interesting in another month or two, actually, to see how the Watchmen sales do, you know, next month, both right before the movie comes out, which is, you know, it's coming out in another day or two, and then with the March numbers after that, how it does once the movie has been out.
Yeah.
You know, because...
See if they get a bump. I'm going to go out and buy this book now, kind of thing.
I hope so. You know, to me, this has been, I don't say a high-risk proposition, but something that could have a very big backlash if people see the movie and say, well, what's the big deal? You know, all my comic friends are saying this thing was brilliant. I thought it was okay or whatever. If it gets that kind of reaction, and I don't think it will, but if it does, that could be unfortunate. You know, but if people see this and think, wow, I thought Iron Man and Batman were good, but this just blew me away, you know, that could be the resurgence of interest in comics that we need. You know, because comics are fairly accepted these days, are not, you know, I think the stigma is kind of gone, but I also don't think we're at the point where people are really driving towards the comic shops in droves. You know, certainly the sales I'm seeing here don't seem to reflect that. Now, granted, Watchmen's going to go through the roof in the bookstores again.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. You see, they're not going to go to the comic book stores in droves. No, they're going to go to Borders and Barnes & Noble in Amazon in droves.
Yeah.
Well, maybe in droves. Who knows?
Well, again, million copies were put into print in the last year or so, and we can account for only about less than half of it.
Yeah.
So that means...
Well, I walk into my Borders, and there's a big table right when you walk in with a bunch of Watchmen crap on it, and it also has a couple other Alan Moore books. It's got the new Swamp Thing on it and a few other books, the V for Vendetta.
Yeah.
And it's got, like, the V for Vendetta movie sitting right there, which came out, you know, a couple years ago.
Yeah.
But it's sitting right there. I mean, hey, if you like Watchmen, you'll like Alan Moore, and you'll like V for Vendetta, and you'll like all these other things. And it's, you know, it's savvy promoting on a store like that. I mean, obviously there's somebody working there that knows what they're doing, which is good to see.
Or can read the name Alan Moore and see what else do we have from him. But yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's part of it too. Yeah.
The advantage Watchmen has in terms of bumping the sales of the trade paperback from the movie is there is the one trade paperback. And the one hardback and the one international edition and all that. Yeah, so there's a couple of variants. But it's not, again, like Batman or Iron Man or Spider-Man, where if they like the movie, what do you hand them? So, you know, hopefully the movie will do blockbusters. Hopefully all the copies that are in print will sell and people will be interested in that. But hopefully it does not do so well that in another year or two we get Watchmen 2, the movie.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, Snyder came out and said he's not going to do one.
There are other directors out there. I'm sure
there are other
somebody
directors out there
would
love to do one. Right, exactly. And well, you know what? It's funny you mention it because they mentioned in a, I don't know, I read it on Newsarama or CBR or something like that, that the sequel, if you want to see a sequel or a different version, is the Watchmen video game that they're making. You know, it has like a little different storyline to it.
That's just scary on multiple levels.
Yeah, I know. I won't be picking that up.
Yeah, me neither. They shouldn't be doing a video game of this.
Of Watchmen, I know. Just silly.
Every other level, you're sitting there reading the comic, you know, you gotta hit the right key to flip the page for the Black Freighter, I don't know. Could be funny. Well, I think that pretty much does it.
Yep.
And we'll talk again on this stuff next month. The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. The sales estimates can be found under the sales chart section of the Comic Book Page website. Please email us at themailreport@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening. The views expressed by Don Mayo and his guests are their own and may or may not accurately reflect reality in any way, shape, or form. If you differ from your reality, please verify you are in the same space-time continuum before taking any action. All numbers given are estimates and only estimates. To think otherwise would be foolish. The estimates given are for sales from publishers to retailers for items invoiced through Diamond Comics Distribution for the month in question. The Diamond Order Index only goes 2 decimal places, and therefore there is a margin of error of at least 1/10,000th of the estimate for the key title, which is usually, but not always, Batman. For months in which no issue of Batman shipped, Detective Comics is usually used as the key title. Some numbers are rounded to the nearest 100 for convenience. This may introduce a further level of inaccuracy. No information about how many copies may or may not have sold to readers is included, implied, or denied. Anywhere from all of the units shipped to retailers to none of them could still be sitting on store shelves gathering dust. All reorder activity should be seen only as indications there's at least one retailer that may have an excessive amount of empty shelf space with dust it needs collecting. The list of the top 300 comic books only contains the top 300 comic books sold through Diamond to retailers for the month in question. More than 300 different comic books may have shipped during the month, and obviously not all of them will be included on the list of top 300 comic books for the month. The list of the top 100 graphic novels and collected editions only contains the top 100 graphic novels and collected editions sold through Diamond to retailers for the month in question. More than 100 different graphic novels and collected editions may have shipped during the month, and obviously not all of them will be included on the list of top 100 graphic novels and collected editions for the month.
In the past, list of top graphic novels in collected editions contained only 50.5 or excuse n items. This means that historical data about graphic novels in collected editions is increasingly limited the further back in time that you look. Fixing this may require time travel, which, as far as I know now, has not been successfully invented in the past, present, or any possible or probable future. No visibility into the sales or lack of sales, any comic books, graphic novels, and or collected editions that are not listed on the top 300 comic books or top 100 graphic novels in collected editions lists is included, implied, or denied. The data from Diamond only contains data from Diamond. No information about sales or lack of sales of any items sold outside the Diamond Comics distribution channel is included, implied, or denied. That information is considered to be outside the scope of this report. If this isn't the data you're looking for, then this isn't the data you're looking for, and no amount of whining will change that. If you don't know why this disclaimer's here, then it probably isn't meant for you. This report is void in the ultimate reality of Duluth, Minnesota. Ath, logic, and English language itself seem to work very differently there.